I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Today is Easter, and He is risen. Yeah? Well, not only that, but regarding those set free from death, they have risen. And not only that, but we who believe in our heart that He rose from the dead, we will rise.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to the question, what do you think about ghosts? Hey, can I get my notes in the back when it's convenient there? Two things I love about Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. But the first would make a great title for an Easter movie. And the second is about a man's redemption after confronting the dead, the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and facing his own death, far more appropriate for Easter. So we're going to have us an Easter carol, and we're going to talk about the wonderful life of the ghosts of Christ, past, present, and future. So what do you think about ghosts? What do you think about ghosts? Not a topic too many Christians are comfortable talking about, let alone on Easter. But God bless us, everyone. The ghosts of the dead writhe under the waters along with those who live there with them. Sheol, or Hades, is naked, okay? Naked before God. And Abaddon, that is just the word destruction, has no clothes. You can't tell from this picture, but no clothes, no bodies. And wow, where to start, right? Where to start? The ghosts? Under the waters? Along with those who live there with them? Well, before Jesus, yes, before Jesus. And I'll tell you, well before Jesus, Solomon actually saw his day coming and said, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. But until then, all go to one place and all return to dust. They go to the dead. One place. To Sheol, that's the Hebrew word for it, or Hades in Greek. It's also referred to as the underworld. And I used this picture and figured that one must be clothing optional. But isn't this a bit morbid for Easter? No, this is Easter. You may not know, this is what Easter's about. Because whatever Sheol really was, right? Because it represents something. Whatever Sheol really was, it symbolized a very real realm where disembodied spirits or souls were trapped and like imprisoned until Easter. I mean, everyone talks about it in the Old Testament, from old King Hezekiah, who said when he was condemned to death for his sin, I shall go to the gates of Sheol, and here's the sad part, I shall not see Yah. Yah, that's the Lord's name that's only praised by the living dead. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. All the way up to righteous King David, who confidently said, if I make my bed in Sheol, okay, well, behold, Yah are there. He even says, I'll see your face if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea. There's that water again. Even there, now look at this, even there, your hand will lay hold of me. Because, as Jesus said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Even though the pains of death surrounded me and Sheol lay hold of me. For neither death nor life nor height nor depth shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord. So ask for a sign, you know, from the depths of Sheol or the heights of heaven. Ask for a sign, yet no sign will be given, Jesus warns, but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, he's in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so just very quickly, because we did a whole message on this, Jesus' missing day. How does Jesus check out of the Hades hotel on the third morning, but is then back in the heart of Hades the third night? He goes back. I mean, it's a kind of a no-brainer, because we all know his resurrection story. He disappears. He vanishes. He's gone all that third night. Shows up at midnight when he returns. But I want us to look at the sign of Noah, because I don't think you saw. I think we might have missed it. Because Jonah said, Jesus kind of misquotes him. Big clues here. Jonah said, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. Do you see the sign? I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. Jonah's watery grave, and I've been burrowing through that Bible to make sure this is true. Jonah's watery grave became the universal symbol used by the prophetic poets throughout Scripture to picture Sheol, which means it unlocks and allows us to see all the Psalms and the prophets of the ghosts of Easter past, who say things like Psalm 69, let not the deep swallow me up. Get it? Let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Set me up on high, just like Jonah. For the Lord does not despise his prisoners. Therefore, we'll let the seas and everything that moves in them will be used to praise him. Yeah, Heman says, I am counted with those who go down to the pit, adrift among the dead in the lowest pit. Lowest. In the depths, and I cannot get out. So here's what he's wondering. Will you work wonders for the dead? He will indeed. Shall the dead arise and praise you? They shall indeed. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Oh, it shall indeed. Or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Hold up. That's the word Abaddon. The place of the naked. And the answer is yes. Yes, because they had the Lord's promise of a rescue at sea, if you will. He said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. So those who waited for Yah to show up in Sheol prayed and watched for the day he'd appear and say, oh, death, I will be your plagues. Oh, grave, I will be your destruction. Put on some clothes, people. And that's because they didn't go to the lowest pit. The lowest. Because there's one place, two floors, two levels. Let's call it a basement banquet hall. for friends, and a boiler room below for foes. Remember when wicked King Saul went to the witch to bring up the ghost of righteous Samuel? No? Okay. Well, she cried out at the top of her voice. Because until the Lord allowed it, Whoopi there in the movie Ghost, she'd never actually seen a real one. You know how I know? They were stuck in Sheol. She said, after screaming at the top of her lungs, I see a ghostly figure coming up. It's righteous Samuel coming up out of the earth. And righteous Samuel came up and said to wicked King Saul, Samuel said to Saul, the Lord has become your enemy, and tomorrow you will be with me. The righteous with the wicked, the wicked with the righteous. For a while. In Jesus' parable, amazing stuff. In Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he describes the two floors. He describes a paradise up above and a painfulness below, which was the torment of those who'd rather be served than saved. Short version, Lazarus died. Let's jump right to it. Lazarus died and was carried, okay, by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's what they call it. The rich man, the wicked rich man, also died and was buried, not carried, in torments in Hades. But he lifted up his eyes, saw Abraham, and said, Send Lazarus to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Not enough to want out, but more than enough to just complain and demand, like so many like it down here. Those are the flames of God's wrath against wickedness. Because before he died on the cross, the Lord did say, a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol. The lowest part, lowest. Sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. And Jonah said, I sank to the foundations of the mountains. That's me we're talking about. Yeah, the earth's gates shut behind me forever. So we've gone beyond the fish. He's dead. But then you raised my life from the pit and then from the fish. And just before Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, well, the criminal on the cross next to him repents. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Say your kingdom with me. Your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I'll tell you the truth. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Because that's step one. Because 2 days later, after the today, 2 days later, when Jesus rose, as in up, on Easter morning, Jesus said to an understandably clingy Mary Magdalene, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So where has he been? Not up in heaven with the Father, but down in paradise with the criminal. And prior to all this, just before Jesus brought Martha's real life brother, Lazarus, back to life, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know, that means from scripture. That's where you know things. Old Testament scripture here for her. She didn't have New Testament. I know that he will rise again in, and then she's quoting something, the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, as me, I am the resurrection at the last day and the life. That refers to me. So this means he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, this is good for us, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. It's a win-win, beginning when he rose. There is just not a lot of talk about the resurrection of the dead in the Old Testament, which makes it really good for us because Hosea and Isaiah get very specific about the Lord raising up the souls of Sheol on a very specific day. So that's good for us because it's simple to see the last day that Martha and Jesus were referring to. Not a lot of options. Because Hosea says, come, let us return to the Lord. For, and here's the key line, he will heal us. He will revive us after 2 days, okay? And he will raise us up from Sheol on the third and final day. That's the last day when the souls are raised up. That we may live before him in heaven. His appearance is as sure as the dawn on day three. And Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions, and by his wounds we are healed. Say that. We are healed, and therefore and thereby ready to be raised up on the third and final day if you happen to die before Jesus came. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the dead in Christ will rise first on the third and final day. For even David did not ascend to heaven, okay, apart from Christ. And Jesus said, I have come down from heaven, and this is the will of him who sent me, to lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, not even those who died before me. So, I'll tell you, blessed are the naked dead who die in the Lord from now on. For if we, you and I, if we live, we live for the Lord, right? But here's the thing. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to, look at this. This is why he came. For to this final end, Christ died and rose and lived again that he might be Lord of both. You know, the dead who had gone on before him and the living. Christ died to bring you to God. Oh, and also, he went and preached to the spirit, you know, the disembodied spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago. He did that too. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. For a time is coming, Jesus said, when all who are in the graves will hear the Son of Man's voice, because he went and preached to them, and come out. Those ghosts of Easter present who have done good will rise to live before him in his presence. Because the Lord, here it is, the Lord brings down to Sheol and raises up to heaven. That's why David said, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Since, you've delivered, you've already delivered my soul from the depths, the lowest depths of Sheol. Not only that, God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol. But who can escape the power of Sheol? Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who washed us from our sins in his own blood. The prophets and Moses said he would be the first to rise from the dead. And speaking of the ghosts of Easter yet to come, on that Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. You know, his departure? Oh, why is he talking to them about his departure? Well, in two words, all aboard! Because behold, Daniel saw one like the Son of Man coming to the heavenly throne with the clouds of heaven. And they, the clouds of heaven, brought him near before the Ancient of Days. That's his ticket to ride. That's how he gets there. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Because that's step two. Remember when his disciples watched him ascend into heaven? He was taken up, Luke says, carried up before their very eyes, and now a cloud hit him. A cloud hit? Yeah, because Isaiah said, they all gather together, they come to you because the abundance of the sea. Now we know what he's talking about. The abundance of the sea. Okay, it's not tuna, fish, and shrimp. Okay. The abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and they shall ascend with acceptance. So he ends with this. Who are these who fly like a cloud? Well, they are none other than, as the Hebrews puts it, our great cloud of witnesses who came out of their tombs to confirm the Christ. But they're not ghosts, okay? They are not anymore. No, they're happy Easter. They are restored corpses, okay? Clothed and dressed in bone and flesh, which is why it was so significant in bringing them singing an Easter carol out of their tombs. So behold, the tombs were opened, okay? And many, you know, reanimated bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Awake, awake, Isaiah cries. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Free yourself from the chains. Because the longing soul in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, well, he brought out of darkness, yeah, out of the shadow of darkness and broke their chains in pieces. David foresaw it, okay? He foresaw it and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he has put a new song of Easter in my mouth, and many will see it, yeah, when those tombs open, and fear, and will trust in the Lord, you know, but first it's going to be like a ghost. Yeah. Nope, wrong. I'm a reconditioned corpse, actually. Happy Easter, read your Bible. Because the wicked dead don't live, because ghosts don't rise. Oh, we writhed, but we achieved no victories. And this word is also translated salvation or deliverance. But speaking to the Lord, your dead will live. And look at this. Their corpses will rise, fully restored, reconditioned, and those who dwell in the dust will shout for joy because your shadow is a shadow of light. Picture that. Picture that shadow down in the valley of the shadow of death. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. It's light. But you will bring down the ghosts into the underworld. Because Proverbs says, a man who wanders from the way will remain in the assembly of the dead. So go, my people, enter your rooms and shut your doors behind you for a little while. Because then, on that same day at evening, yeah, when the doors were shut, You know where the disciples were? Jesus came aback and stood very quietly in the midst. They didn't notice him. We'll pick it up in Luke. Jesus stood unnoticed now among them. And I've read this over and over. Not having fun, said to them, "Peace be with you." Also translated, "Boo." Because they were startled. I mean, he's and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Nope, wrong. He said to them, "Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. This is what is written." Yeah, in Hosea and Isaiah, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third and final day. "Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol," says Job, "until your wrath returns to you," which it did on the cross. "That you would set a limit for me and remember me." And then one of his so-called comforters says, "Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? I mean, they are as high as the heavens, deeper than Sheol. What can you know?" And 2,000 years before Jesus appears, Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, well, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." You see, Christ died for our sins, Paul later writes, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures in Hosea and Isaiah. Try to find another. And that's why he says, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Because Daniel says that's who carries him to the throne. So if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And they had to rise because there's something vital that the unrisen, disembodied dead just don't do. The dead do not hallelujah, which means praise, Yah. Only the living dead. "Nor do any who go down into silence, but we who ascend will bless Yah from this time forth and forevermore." And in Revelation, John saw every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea. Now you kind of get that. But they're before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed, and crying out with a loud voice like the voice of many waters, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb of God who takes away sin, saying, "Hallelujah, because he is risen."
He is risen indeed.
"And they have risen." "And we who declare with our mouth what we believe in our heart will rise." So don't be caught dead in your sin. Live as children of light. After all, this is why it's said, "Wake up, O sleeper, sleepyhead, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine his shadow on you." God bless us, everyone. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and glorify you for sending your word and your son to save us. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to shine ever brighter as your children. And Lord Jesus, we adore you and honor you for redeeming our soul and leading us home. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.